Okay, here we are. Welcome back. Now, we have, just for fun, I had a guest lined up for Erica and I to talk with, and I can pretty well synopsize what the guest was going to present, but we'll get to that in a minute. I've gotten a lot of response over last night's third hour interview with Damien Dumas, and it really struck a lot of people. And we've talked last hour a little bit about AI and stuff, that you will not be able to tell. You can't tell right now who's real and who's AI. Remember the old commercial long time ago? Is it real or is it Memorex? Remember that one? And there was a Memorex recording tape was so clear you couldn't tell if it was a live or a recorded voice you were hearing. Anyhow, it's getting crazy. Somebody just sent me something. I might play this. I kind of want to hear it. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
Are you all dressed up with nowhere to go?
Yeah, sort of.
Do you remember that song? There was a song.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you don't.
Of course I do.
Come on. I'm all dressed up. We're with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
I'll bet hardly anyone will remember that song.
Oh, come on. It's a classic.
Is it? Well, it got me. I'll take your word for it. All right. So one of our listeners just sent this in about that interview last night, and I will post it up there in headlines. Oops. Hold on, I got to send the headlines right now. Give me 1 second. Okay, there's that, and that. Okay, I'm all dressed up and nowhere to go, and you remember that.
I do.
But you never cease to amaze me. Okay. Except you didn't know about the teddy bear's picnic.
I knew, but I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. Another classic. Maybe I should play that, too.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right. Don't push me. I'll do it. Here's something that one of our listeners... thank you. We appreciate this. I'm going to play this. And I haven't heard this whole... I just played a little bit of it. But let me hear. This has to do with last night's third hour interview. Now, this voice you're going to hear is AI. It's not a real person. Here we go.
Today, February 23rd, 2023, Jeff Renz speaks to Damien Dumas about alien entities ruling Earth. Dumas claims they're the demonic forces behind the globalists currently creating mayhem on the planet. Jeff takes the interview seriously, as he does with all his guests, no matter the veracity of their claims or beliefs. You'll hear Jeff challenge Dumas' many seemingly incredulous statements, which indicate Jeff is doing his job as a journalist. But he isn't necessarily buying Dumas' tale, which is beyond belief unless you're a Tolkien Lord of the Rings fan. Early into the interview, you'll hear Jeff pull up Dumas when he talks in first person, as if Dumas is a hybrid alien. Dumas' response is an eye-opener. His claims continue to mount throughout the interview as they escalate from fanciful to improbable. Jeff does a valiant job trying to anchor the interview back into reality, but Dumas doubles down. Dumas is currently popping up all over on radio programs and podcasts. His motives seem to be that he's selling a fanciful book by an unknown author known as Lucian Mars. The book is called The Harvest. It's available on Amazon for $2.99 as a Kindle ebook. This commercial motive could explain Dumas' willingness to talk. Sometimes, during the interview, Dumas sotto voce mirthily breaks character, self-checking in the hope his tall story is being swallowed. Listen for his voice inflections. Jeff certainly picks them up. Now sit back and listen to the tallest tale you'll hear this month. If nothing else, Jeff Renz's expert skill and professionalism as the alternative media's leading and only true journalist makes Dumas' flim-flammery absolutely entertaining listening. You'll find yourself repeating, "No way, no way, that can't be true." Listen to Jeff's closing comments at the end of the interview. They're priceless. In fact, they're worth more than $2.99.
We're going to talk to a new voice to the program. He's an author, a researcher. His name is Lucian Mars. Well, thank you for the individual who made that and sent it in. There's a nice graphic to go with it. AI introduction. Sound like a real person. You can't tell. No way. So are you speechless?
No, I'm just taking it in.
Just sitting back, having your root beer float, and enjoying life. That's good. Anyway, this whole thing is stepping off the. It's going into the weeds, as they say. It's getting crazier all the time.
Yeah, starting it with, is. It's advancing at lightning speed.
Okay. Our guest, who we just found out is not available, has been on before. He works in the New York, the New York Department of Transportation, whatever. He works on the subways, okay? He's been a long time there. And the idea that this country is being degraded, taken down, disassembled, is real. And it's beginning to take on more substance all the time. I think that's clear. And where is it showing up first? Usually in the big cities, as they become cesspools of homelessness, drug use, crime through the roof, black on white crime, hate crime, craziness everywhere. The cities are really showing how successful the agenda is being implanted and carried out, just like the agenda of the so-called vaccination. It's not a vaccination. We know that now. It's a bioweapon. So he was going to talk about how in the New York subways, in some of the lower echelon train stations, what do they call them? I've never been on a subway. What is it? Just a station? Underground? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we would call them here. Yeah. The tunnels.
All right. Well, anyway, the underground stations. He says that now they're full, not full, but they're commonly populated with the homeless who also ride the trains, who also sleep in the stations, who also sleep on the trains, who also walk down the tracks and disappear and don't come back out. It's like they know there are places along the train tracks and the tunnels. There are, I guess, alcoves off to the side, and they have these little, what you call it, a settlement? I don't know. So they go down the tracks and they don't come back out, I guess, until whenever, the next day. So, in other words, they're finding also not just sick people, but dead people in the stations. Not the high-end stations. He made it clear that these were the lower-end stations. But dead bodies are rather routinely being carried out now by personnel, whatever, whoever carries dead bodies. Maybe you can major in college in that. It'd probably be a profession pretty soon. Body moving. So they're dying down there in the stations. They're dying on the train. I guess they're dying all over the place. There's over 500,000 in New York homeless. Don't know how many in L.A., probably that many at least. So when you've ridden subways before, when was the last time you rode a subway?
Oh, it's been a long time. 20 years? 30 years,
okay.
Maybe.
Nothing
long
to compare.
Time. But no, I especially in New York, that's not unknown, having homeless inhabiting these tunnels. I imagine it's just quite a bit worse now. And it's winter. You know, it'd be an obvious place to
sure.
get out of the elements.
Right. Well, he would have been very informative, but I think I've summarized it pretty well. So you get the idea that, again, it's an expression of urban decay, what he's seeing in the subways. And I'm sure it's that way in bus stations and whatever. It's just that the cities are going down. Look at the sidewalks. Look at the tents. Even in this town here, it's a town of 23,000. They're sleeping out in front of the police station on the lawns now, in tents.
So, are they?
Yes. There were four or five tents last week when I drove past the police station.
That's pitiful.
So it's everywhere. And no one's bothering to oust them. They're leaving them alone. And I don't know where that's going to go or how long it'll last, but your town perhaps is different wherever you are. And I wonder about homelessness in other countries around the world, if it's as big a problem as the disenfranchised here. We had a lot of homeless here. I just wonder about that. Are there homeless, say, in Indonesia, Malaysia? We know they're homeless in India. That's for sure. But no. I guess
I think
in Europe,
some of the
homeless
third world countries have a stronger social fabric, where people are more inclined to look out for each other, take care of each other, whereas there's a lot of emphasis on individualism here. And if you fall through the cracks, you may be on your own.
Nobody reaching down to pull you out.
No. I mean, we've seen that with just the way people have ostracized their own family for having had or not had the vaccine, the injection.
Fights, never talk to you again, yelling, dissolved marriages, friendships destroyed. And we have a working percentage now of the number of Americans that we think have been injected. Not vaccinated, injected. Well, they've been vaccinated with a bioweapon. We can use that term. And it's, go ahead and give us, what's the latest? And where did you get these figures from? This is interesting.
The latest figure is 83% of U.S. adults are considered vaxxed, had taken the injection. And that came from an article in the Epoch Times that was regarding the push for unvaxxed blood, to have a blood bank that's exclusively for unvaccinated people. And they said it's probably not realistic or feasible because the number of unvaxxed is relatively small. The demand wouldn't support the need, or the need wouldn't support the demand, vice versa. So there, I think the blood supply is being looked at a little more seriously now. There's more and more coverage of it in the alt news. People are raising concerns about it. But the public stance on it right now is that it's safe until we know otherwise.
Well, that, of course, goes against all pragmatic thought and logic.
Yes.
100% against it. And that's not to say that if you're in a car crash and, you know, you're bleeding out and they get you to the hospital and you're unconscious and, you know, or if you're conscious, you're going to say, okay. If they say, you're going to die unless we give you blood, you're going to take it. Unfortunately, you're going to take it with mRNA and spike protein in it. That's just a fact. There have been efforts, and there are efforts, to set up blood banks of the unvaxxed to serve the needs of the unvaxxed. But that's been termed to be almost impossible to do by some authorities.
Well, and it's interesting that these hospitals are denying direct donor blood. In other words, if you have somebody in the hospital that is in need of blood,
right,
and you're willing to donate your match, they're making it inordinately difficult, within a family.
If your vax status is even brought up, they won't entertain it. They just won't. You just take the blood and shut up.
So I think this topic is coming into the news again because there was this study that was recently published, I think end of January, that showed that there was mRNA that was representative of what was in the vax, the mm-hmm. injection, in the blood of those who had received it 28 days later. They could identify, they didn't say if it was whole sequence, but it was at least fragments of that particular mRNA that's known to be in these injections. And that's worrisome. And they didn't look for spike, but you know, we've already determined that is in the blood of the vax. It can be detected in the blood of the vax within hours. And depending on whether or not they mount an antibody response to it, it can be detected 4 weeks later. Possibly longer.
Yeah. Well, there are people who are getting organ transplants, and it's tragically another problem regarding the spike. You're going to get the spike in that organ. The organ is going to be compromised, infested with spike protein, if it came from a vaxxed individual. Whether you have one shot or five shots or six shots, it doesn't really matter much. So the organ transplant business is now also really staggering around in problem areas that never before were even thought about. Now they are, just like the blood.
How do they determine a viable organ at this point?
I couldn't even guess. Think of not what Dr. Nagase explained so eloquently and simply, that a heart will be targeted by the spike, and the spike will surround the heart, basically, I'm keeping it simple, and shut down the bioelectric signaling mechanism through a very simple process to keep the heart beating, and the heart will stop.
Well, that's the heart. What about kidneys, livers? And there's a lot of people having kidney failure these days.
A lot of kidney problems. Lots.
A lot of kidney problems. A person who has received these injections, let's see, if it's the mRNA with a lipid nanoparticle, that lipid nanoparticle goes everywhere and manages to transfect a variety of different cells. And so those cells and those organs or tissues begin to produce the spike protein permanently. Possibly, they show that was possible with liver cells, that within 6 hours of the vax, or 6 hours of having the mRNA introduced by the lipid nanoparticles, these liver cells had reverse transcribed the mRNA into the DNA, and it was a permanent integration.
Yeah. We're not out of the woods here. We're just staggering into the woods, basically. We're not even close. No, there's no end in sight to this. This horror is going to go on for years.
Well, and quite often, the people that are in need of transplants are being made to take a booster shot before they go in for their surgery.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, but I've seen it in print, so I know, but it just sounds ludicrous. They're denying people organ transplants if they won't take the shot. Never mind that the organ they're going to get is full of spike protein and mRNA. Never mind that. Do you see the madness of the end times is here? No, you can't have a spike-infested kidney.
Where does
kidney.
It end?
No, sorry, unless you take your booster. No. It's insane.
But apparently there are enough people that are still under the belief that everything about this is perfectly fine. There's nothing to worry about. It's doing what it's supposed to do.
Right.
Well,
how many
what they
people,
think it's supposed to do.
Correct. How many people who have taken the shots have myocarditis? It has been written that 100% of the people who have taken a viable, legitimate, functional bioweapon injection will have myocarditis, whether it's clinically observable or not. If it's subclinical, whatever. They've still got it. And so the bad ones who have severe myo are put on a heart transplant list. All right? Now, these are vaxxed people, so they won't be threatened with the shot. They've already got it. But they're going to get a heart that's already compromised. I'm being polite.
Well, we had Nurse Ian describe that scenario, what was it, a few months ago. I think he was a 21-year-old male who died. I forget if he had a stroke, I think. So they were able to harvest, I think, his heart and maybe liver, whatever, kidneys. But he was clearly someone who had died as a result of the injection he had received. He just happened to die of a stroke. But his heart was considered viable, and it was harvested and probably transplanted into somebody else shortly thereafter.
Apparently one of the biggest aspects of the war in Ukraine that is not to be talked about is the mass butchery that's going on by the Ukraine side in terms of organ harvesting of seriously wounded or recently killed troops. And the word is that they're taking organs out of people who would otherwise be salvageable. They could be brought back and saved. They're seriously wounded, but they're just taking the organs anyway, and that's it. Done. There's big money in it, and it's primarily an Israeli endeavor, as in Zionism, all right? So it fits right along with Mr. Zelensky, no problem. Crazy. Okay, we have a soundbite here from...
Government data to compare outcomes...
You know that voice. All right, set this up for us. This is... Tucker, and what are we going to hear? 3 minutes
long. I was rather surprised to see. I don't know when this aired. It might have been last night. It might have been two nights ago. But it's Tucker Carlson, Fox News, interviewing the OBGYN doc, James Thorpe. And James Thorpe is describing what he has seen in his practice with women, pregnant women, women of childbearing age, and the just the horrific consequences that these women have experienced after being coerced or persuaded to take these shots.
Right.
And he did publish a study. I forget. Oh, it's going to come out on March 1st, I guess. And which details their findings. And it's undeniable that these things are having a very adverse effect on women's fertility and pregnancy outcomes. And
adverse effect? How about catastrophic?
Catastrophic, yeah. Possibly, yes. Yep. So it's interesting. I mean, we've known this for some time, if not factually, at least intuitively. But it's interesting to see it coming out in at least part of the mainstream media. They're letting it trickle out.
I think they're letting it trickle out now. I've said this many times because it's already game, set, and match. When you've inoculated with this bioweapon, I don't care who makes it. It's all made the same basic way, except for Novavax. When you've inoculated about 6 billion people with this bioweapon, an argument could be made that most all of them are on the way out. So it's game, set, and match. So what the hell do they care if the truth gets out? So they're starting to let it out. And if anybody starts to become complacent or smug or whatever, you know what they'll do? They'll just turn loose H5N1. It's ready to go. We had a report today that in Cambodia, a little girl 12 years old yesterday died allegedly of H5N1. Now they've got 15 more who allegedly are infected with H5N1. And we've heard Gates talk about H5N1, and we know that they have apparently a vax for it on the shelf, another bioweapon, no doubt. So it doesn't matter. The lineup is long and robust. They have anything they need to do whatever they want. And we're not giving up here. We're just telling it like it is. they are not going to be denied, or they will take the whole thing down. In fact, that's what they're doing. All right, so here's Tucker. Let's see what he has to say. This is beginning to make, I wouldn't call Tucker big time mainstream, but he's big time internet for sure. And he's the only voice that most patriots will look to for what they hope is the truth. So it's an important step. Let's find out what he says.
Government data to compare outcomes after the COVID-19 vaccines with outcomes after the influenza vaccine. And it found a 1,200-fold increase in menstrual abnormalities and a 57-fold increase in miscarriages. Wait, where's Planned Parenthood on this? Don't they care about women? There's also a 38-fold increase in stillborn or fetal death rate. Dr. James Thorpe co-authored the paper. He is a board-certified OBGYN maternal fetal medicine specialist, and we're happy to have him join us tonight. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. These, you know, to the layman, these seem like very dramatic numbers. Is that how you read them?
Yes, Tucker. And first of all, thank you very much for giving my patients a voice. My views are not shared by my employer, maybe not. But let's start out. One can make a very strong argument, Tucker, that the pushing of these experimental COVID-19 vaccines globally is the greatest violation of medical ethics in the history of medicine, maybe humanity. We have never, ever broken the sacrosanct golden rule of pregnancy. Never, ever. I've published extensively in my career and extensively in the last 3 years, all on COVID. And what we've seen, this article, we're honored that I hear that it's going to be a lead feature article in a major peer-reviewed medical journal, which will be published, God willing, March 1st. And let me set the scenario. What we did was we compared the COVID-19 vaccine adverse events over 18 months with that of the influenza vaccine over 282 months. Now, Tucker, the FDA and the CDC, this is governmental data, and they use a danger threshold. We did it exactly by their rigorous recommendations of twofold or greater is abnormal. And what you said is true. We found a 1,200-fold increase in severe menstrual abnormalities, a 57-fold increase in miscarriage, a 38-fold increase in fetal death or stillbirth rates. And we found 15 other major pregnancy complications, all far exceeding the CDC and the FDA values of safety. So what we have is I can produce it more than 30 other completely independent sources globally that corroborate exactly our findings, Tucker. And if that's not bad enough, there are this includes Pfizer's own internal data.
Unbelievable. I hope the self-appointed defenders of women will take notice. We appreciate your work, Dr. James Thorpe. Thank you.
Okay, your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a start. We have a paper. We have a paper.
One paper. After 2+ years of horror, we have a paper and we have an appearance on Tucker. After 2+ years of horror. And how many
now,
women
the question is,
butchered?
Will it change policy? Probably not. I mean, if he said his peers, his colleagues, are not in agreement with these findings.
No, not gonna change anything. It doesn't matter anyhow, because it's, in my view, I'm not speaking for Erica, it's over. They've already achieved what they want. They've got 83% of America injected with a bioweapon. On the global stage, it's around 6 billion. We only have 8, or allegedly 8. So they're well on their way. All we need is a little nuclear war or an H5N1 plandemic, and let's get that we've got to get our vax. This has a 50% mortality rate. Do you know that everybody would line up if they claim it has a 50% CFR? They would all line up. Almost every American would line up. Not all, but almost all of them. I think
the ones that have not experienced
right.
really deleterious effects from this one.
Well, remember,
there are even some that are gravely injured that will go get another one if they think that that's the thing to do.
Well, think about it. The COVID virus, the Wuhan strain, had a 99.9995% survival rate. It was ridiculous, with no treatment. Now, if they roll out this H5N1, I've seen reports where they're expecting it would have a 50% mortality rate. That's huge. That's unprecedented. And even if it was 25%, that's unprecedented. So I don't know what their game is. I just am very suspicious. They've been sowing the seeds for this here in the U.S. for a long time now. How many chickens have they culled to date? I think it's 80 million here in the U.S. by claiming that the poultry farm they're on has avian influenza. Do they? I don't know. After East Palestine, what are we supposed to think about any claims made by the government? Anything. I mean, they're finding white powder on the ground now in counties in West Virginia. They don't know what it is, not yet, but it's obviously linked somehow to what happened in that. It was no accident. No coincidences. No happenstance.
They have a variety of stealth weapons that they can use at any time. You have to remember that those who took these injections now have a underperforming immune system at best.
They have AIDS. It's AIDS.
And it's not going to take much to put them over the edge.
No. No. They're literally facing the same problem that HIV/AIDS patients face, and that's that the door is open for over 30 major hallmark diseases that were taking these people with AIDS out. It's not exactly the same, but AIDS is AIDS, and immune deficiency is immune deficiency. This is worse.
This is worse. Yeah, it's worse.
Because this is not...
you've got the cancer thing on top of this. HIV wasn't really renowned for a lot of cancers in general.
That's right. We had more news on shedding. What were we talking about? Had to do with shedding. That was.
In one of the medical practitioners group, I noticed some conversation about. Let me see if I can find it. One of the doctors mentioned I'm not going to find it. Anyway, it was a healthy, young, 40-something-year-old mother, unvaxxed, that died suddenly this weekend. And then someone else chimed in that they had an unvaxxed patient having blood clots in the legs now. So,
Let me repeat that. Unvaxxed patients with blood clots in the legs, multiple clots apparently, blood clots, unvaxxed, shedding, very important.
So it's interesting to see some of these medical practitioners taking note of this more and more now, because they're at a loss to explain, you know, why would a healthy person be developing blood clots?
Exactly.
Well, what's their exposure to the vaxxed? And, you know, I wouldn't dismiss the actual virus anymore. That is still out there, and that can cause clotting disorders, too. And you don't have to have a lot of symptoms. I mean, this is getting to a point where it can get into you without really causing a lot of symptoms.
I work in an office. I sit at a desk. There are 10 other people in the office in cubicles, and 9 out of those 10 are fully injected. Some of them are on their fifth shots. and they're talking about getting their booster. Or they're being forced to get their booster, or they'll be fired, whatever. I'm exposed to spike and mRNA in that office every day. How much exposure does it take before I become passively vaxxed? A week? A month? 6 months? We don't know. But the point is, you are being exposed in that office or work environment to exactly what you don't want, and you rejected. You chose not to get the shots, and you're being exposed to it. And what will a month of exposure like that lead to? A clot? It'll lead, if you're picking up spike, you're getting microclotting around the clock. It's happening.
Yeah.
And will those micros grow into a macro clot? Maybe. I think in time we're going to see a lot more problems with the unvaxxed. This was, of course, their game plan from the beginning. They had
the damage is coming from with the microclotting. It's coming from this ischemia reperfusion injury, where the blood supply is temporarily cut off, the cells are starved of oxygen, and then for whatever reason the blood clot moves, breaks apart, and you get a burst of oxygen being reintroduced into the cell, and that's mm-hmm. when you get oxidative stress and damage. And repetitive injury like that is going to cause that tissue to become fibrotic. And a lot of people are mentioning vision problems now as a result of shedding. And, those little tiny capillaries that feed the eye and the nerves in there, they're all very susceptible to that kind of injury.
Right.
Ischemia, where the blood supply or the oxygen supply is cut off temporarily, and then when it's restored, that's when the real damage happens. You get a burst of oxygen, and the oxygen is toxic at those mm-hmm. levels. So,
all right.
It's more than just a nuisance. I mean, damage is being done, and it's cumulative.
Mm-hmm. That's the key. It doesn't dissipate. It builds. There was a story I ran 2-3 days ago that indicated that ivermectin was being considered by some researchers to be a very powerful anti-cancer medication, we'll call it. And it was talking about repurposing it in the article as an anti-cancer pharmaceutical, which is very interesting. And it would go hand in hand with this may be the best antiviral we have. Don't know.
Yeah, it could. I mean, Pierre Corey really went to bat for it and is still, I would not say he's pushing it. Some people are saying he's pushing it, and then, this is part of an agenda to, make people sick and give them neurological problems and sterilize them. I would hardly pin Pierre Corey somebody like that.
No,
he was endeavoring to help people early on in the pandemic and was looking for drugs that would help. And it was a while before he came across ivermectin, but the results they were getting in turning people around, minimizing the length of the infection and then the length of hospitalization and death in some cases, it was incontrovertible. And I think you said now that there's 95 controlled published studies that support its use, that it's highly effective,
right,
for these situations. it appears to be safe. I mean, there's people now that have taken it steadily for 2 years. I don't know. It's been around for, 30 years? And it's been trialed?
I think so, yeah.
Trialed in 134,000 people?
Yeah. There's been... And what? Let's compare the trials with the Pfizer and Moderna shots for fun.
Right.
The trials. 134,000
right.
people, not on your life. The only trials they're doing are the poor injectees. They're the trial, but there's no trial because that shot is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It is
right.
an eminent success. It's a bioweapon. And my God, is it good at doing what it was supposed to do. It's crazy.
Well, and I think with any drug, and ivermectin is a drug, you have to weigh the risk versus the benefit, as you would with any medication. I would think the spike protein is infinitely worse than anything ivermectin might do.
Infinitely.
Temporarily.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
You know, the one caveat being that if you have a leaky blood-brain barrier, you want to be very cautious with it because this is not something you want in your brain or your central nervous system because it is neurotoxic. But humans have usually most of the time a pretty good barrier to keep this type of molecule, because it's big, out of the brain and the central nervous system.
Very good. And speaking of lipofuscinosis, which we won't speak of tonight, let's go over to our human file and continue on with these. These are real people telling real stories about what's happened to them, and it's not good. They're very bad, but they're very educational and helpful to people who may be, for example, working around the vaxxed and they're beginning to suffer, or they've had a relative come over and they have contact with them and they end up getting sick, or they go into a store and they get sick, whatever. A lot of people will get sick without even knowing how they got sick. Let's say you go shopping and you grab that shopping cart handle, which hasn't been wiped off for several days. It's crawling with spike, and you're putting your hand right on it. And so you can end up getting sick as hell that way. So you won't even know where you got sick. It's crazy. All right. So we got February 17th here.
Okay.
What shall we do? What shall we do? Oh, we got the story the other day of a 16-year-old girl with uterine cancer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The women are being absolutely butchered with this stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, 16 years old to have that type of cancer. You know, that's not cervical cancer, but endometrial cancer, uterine cancer. Right. That's I don't know. You wonder some of these vaccines that they're giving to children, especially that HPV vaccine, I guess really
awful.
Does a number on
awful.
young girls.
I think that was a dry run of some kind, somehow related.
I think its intent was to sterilize. You know, many young women that get that vaccine are sterile by the time they're in their mid-20s. They've lost the function. Yeah, go ahead.
It was one of the first gene vaccines, wasn't it?
No, it's a recombinant vaccine. It's not a transfection, no. It's just a recombinant protein vaccine. But whatever's in there just causes the body to mount I believe it's an autoimmune response against the ovaries or some part of the ovary that renders them sterile, causes them to go into premature ovarian failure.
Or causes them to go into death. I have lost a lot of little girls.
The paralysis, quite a bit of paralysis associated with that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. More risks to the unvaxxed. We got three of
Did
those.
Did we do that? Okay.
I don't know. I don't have them done here.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Let's do that.
They're not clicked. All right. Here's the first one. Hi, everyone. Obviously, there are tons of cases of mRNA-injected people and acquaintances getting sudden heart attacks. I'm wondering if any of you know any unvaxxed people who have had similar issues, i.e. their relationship with the jab, living in the same house, working in the same office, no contact, etc. I'm wondering to what extent can shedding hurt us? With the help of the right herbs and food and distance precautions, no exchange of body fluids, kissing, sweat, touching, aren't our organic bodies able to detox the toxic spike? Whereas the injected's bodies, the vaxxed, are producing spike nonstop due to their altered DNA. Are there any study models or data on the impact shedding may have on us? Can we be damaged as well, even to a lesser extent, in the long run? Thank you in advance for your input. Best wishes, everyone. All right. Well, I go ahead and comment on that if you want. It's an important one, and it's a good question.
I don't think we really know. Some people do develop clots as a result of being around the vax. Some people have died as a result of being around the vaxed.
Right.
You know, what are the variables? We don't really know. Is it the response of the person who's being shedded on?
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. There's just no data. I mean, you can take these things that are purported to help to diminish the biological activity of the spike so that it's not doing as much damage. Maybe, hopefully, that's working.
We don't know. It's all speculative at this point. We just don't. And people, if anyone tells you, well, you take this supplement, it's going to dissolve all those spike proteins. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. There's just
I've read
here.
Many reports of people who are taking a medley of different supplements, believing they're protected, and I don't know, some months into this protocol, they discover they have blood clots or something else, vision issues, dizziness.
Right. Yeah, they start symptomatically showing signs. Go ahead. Go ahead to the next two. Take it through to the finish. Let's see if we can get done here real quick.
All right. The sad part is this is all fairly new, so we are in the process of finding out. On top of that, I've heard doctors say they are changing what's in the vials, so there is still so much unknown in all of this. For sure, shedding is affecting people, especially those who live with and work with the jabbed every day. Some people seem to be more resistant to the effects of shedding, but even that is unknown. Maybe they are being damaged without feeling it. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any info on people getting terrible back pains and soreness deep in the back? Is this something that happens? My unvaxxed husband, who has literally never had back issues, stiffness or soreness of any kind his entire life and has always been healthy, has all of a sudden started having terrible back pains in a certain spot deep in his back. The person who sits on the next cubicle at work has taken all the shots and is constantly having clear symptoms and reactions, but does not see the correlation whatsoever. She's had a horrible face rash, partial paralysis, sick constantly, etc. I am wondering if she is shedding on my husband, and all of a sudden he is getting back issues because of the poisons transmitting from her body. It has happened quite a few times this year, and it's always after his work shifts. One time, his pain lasted a whole week. Today, it happened again, except its back didn't even hurt until midday today. She was also working today. Anyway, any advice or info will help. Okay, next one says, my niece is bleeding heavily even though she is day 10 of her cycle. Parents are vaxxed, and I believe the shedding could be the cause. Uh-huh. The doctor has prescribed cyclocapron to stop clots and stop the bleeding. Has anyone had any experience with this drug, or is there an alternative to use? Thank you so much in advance. Answer, cyclocapron is a tranexamic acid. I have taken it for the same reasons. It is effective and fine. The last time I got shed on badly, the tranexamic acid didn't stop the bleeding. I had to take progestin to stop the bleeding. Very scary. Your niece needs to take ivermectin once a week to deal with shedding. Someone else says progesterone. And last one, the jab do excrete this poison through exosomes. It can cause problems in your weakest places. Turmeric is helpful for pain and thins the blood. Lemon balm is helpful as well. NAC, ubiquinol, quercetin, DMG, zinc, vitamin D, and vitamin C help the body heal.
Okay, very good. The bottom line is, you're not going to escape the effects of shedding. We don't know how quickly they're going to show up. It could be soon. It could be the next day. You just don't know. But be careful around your vax opposite. It's simple. And I've explained many times how it works from both sides of the aisle. So be very careful. Very. All right,
yep.
Here. Now, since you asked for it, and because we want to have a little fun once in a while, this is a little change of pace.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
Okay, there we go.
That's a good one.
We just want to try and remember how things used to be. And they used to be fun and happy. And you can grab a moment or two of happiness and engage in random acts of kindness. That's still important. There are a lot of people out there who just are really misery-oriented. You see them, they're ambulatory, but they're fighting these kinds of things that we read about in these stories from the social media groups. They may have pain in their hearts. The women may be bleeding right there, horribly. The men may have pains in their back. It's endless, okay? The number of symptoms are endless. They just go on and on and on. And you never know by looking, because people will cover up. They'll hide. They won't show it. Understood. Okay, thank you. As always, we'll carry on next week.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Good night, everyone. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll be right back with Hour 3. Hang on.